Good evening. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska, and this is The Exchange. I'm your host, Alexandra Gutierrez, and today we have two guests with us. Representative Bryce Edgman will be talking about the end of the legislative session and what the redistricting process means for Unalaska. In the second half of our show, Alaska-born author Clayton Hansen will be discussing his novel, Miss Remorse. The book focuses on a friendship between two boys who become crab fishermen in the Bering Sea. But first, Representative Edgman. It's great having you with us today, Representative Edgman.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's good to get caught up with so many things having happened both during the regular session and also the special session that just concluded.
Yeah, so just starting off, I mean, the special session's at an end as of yesterday, and the oil tax issue remains unresolved. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Well, I was one of those legislators who really didn't want to go in a special session, knowing that the political dynamics were not about to change, dynamics that during the regular session had just built up over time and really, you know, resulted in having a train wreck at the end of the regular session. And fortunately, somehow the House and the Senate and the governor all agreeing to get the capital budget and operating budget passed and a few other key pieces of legislation along the way as well. But going into a special session, it was pretty clear to me anyway that the Senate had stated a position on the governor's concept of reducing the oil taxes across the board for all the industry participants and doing it in a major way. So the Senate was pretty staunchly opposed to that. It was a bill that had passed the House last year by 22-16, so not a very big margin in the House as well. But anyway, so going into special session, it was, again, in my estimation, just something that was only a matter of time before it fell apart, and we really got to a point where the stalemate would reassert itself. So I'm not surprised that after 13 days, and a pretty rancorous 13 days, I might add as well, that nothing was accomplished other than passing a bill, a very important piece of bill on sex trafficking. But in terms of the governor's oil tax proposal and the gas line bill that was added to the call, neither one of those bills went anywhere, and everybody just sort of walked away with their hands up in the air and really knowing that the issue, both those issues, are going to come back probably in full force for next session.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to outsiders and also perhaps insiders watching this issue, it seems like this was just, you know, an episode of deja vu. How has this become such an intractable issue?
Oh, that's the great question. It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to probably those in the Senate, and I'm certainly not going to represent that I could speak for them, but I think publicly they've said that the governor's not been able to, number one, sort of state the case for the need to significantly reduce the oil taxes in Alaska. And there are those who would also say that the governor's staff who delivered the message, who went before the committees, certainly didn't do as good a job as possible as you know, selling the governor's concept, if you will, to the legislature. So I think what we have is an issue that's incredibly complicated, incredibly political, controversial, you know, all the adjectives that one could apply to it, and really at a point now where I think we all agree we need to take some time away from it and probably sort of pick up on this, the whole subject next January. And the question really is, do we reduce oil taxes in a significant way to attract more industry exploration, or is there anything else that we can do to get the smaller, more independent producers up there to begin drilling and to, you know, hopefully get the bigger producers to start going in the direction of getting more oil in the pipeline?
And I guess to get you to answer your own questions, what would be your sort of ideal outcome? I mean, what's sort of your vision for Alaska's energy future right now?
Well, I've become pretty well versed on the whole issue, and I could support some reduction in the top end of the oil tax. In other words, as the price of oil goes up, that activity or the stair-stepping component of the formula that allows the state to get more more revenue as the price of oil goes up, that we could adjust that downward somewhat. So I would put myself in the camp of those of us who, again, agree that we need to do something, too, that that we should look at our tax rates. But lastly, to do a large, more wholesale reduction, I just haven't seen the justification at this point.
But the legislative session wrapped up, redistricting is the big bit of political news right now. There's been a legal battle over the map. When the redistricting board offered their first plan, the Aleutians were first split up, and Unalaska lost as a representative. Then that map was challenged, and it looked like District 37 was going to be reconnected once again this spring. But in the past couple of months, the redistricting board has failed to produce a map that satisfies the courts, and it looks like the Aleutians could be split up once again, at least in the interim, and that our community could be paired with Representative Bob Herron. Obviously, this is a very complicated issue, and I was wondering if you might have any insight as to where everything was heading with the new electoral map.
Another great question, and one that we can only speculate on at this time. I would say, however, that everything I know about the redistricting process and where we're at today and how close we are to the June 1 legislative filing date for candidates, that one would think that the only fallback position would be for the Supreme Court to agree to allow the redistricting committee to use the original plan that they submitted last June, which is called the Proclamation Plan, and to use that plan for the next 2 years while they went through the whole process and redrew the map yet again. And if, in fact, that's the case, then yes, Unalaska and Akutan and all the communities down to Adak, along with the Pribilof Islands, will be included with the Bethel area that Bob Herron would represent.
And how does this affect you? I mean, this is a re-election year.
Well, you know, my first preference, of course, would keep House District 37 intact, but that seems very unlikely at this point. From a political point of view, with a new district, having to go up north in the communities, some of which I've never been to, obviously would make my re-election effort more challenging, would make it more difficult. Not to say that it would it put me in a situation where I couldn't get reelected, because I believe that I could, but it would really just put me in a whole new district where I would have to get out and go to communities and build relationships and do everything all over again.
And I guess let's get back to the end of the legislative session. In previous sessions, Governor Parnell has threatened to veto projects as sort of, a stick to encourage the legislature to take the path that he preferred most. Do you see that threat wasn't really levied again this year? I mean, but do you see any potential vetoes coming up for any projects related to District 37 or any legislation that might affect District 37?
Well, that's the bit of the irony in terms of all the divisiveness that we just seen with the conclusion of the special session yesterday, was the fact that in terms of the capital budget, which usually is the most contentious issue of them all, bar none, but this year that the House and the Senate did respect the governor's wishes of keeping the overall budget level below $3 billion. And so the governor did say at the very end that he was pleased. He felt that his vetoes were going to be minimal, if any at all, and those are his words. So, that does provide some level of comfort to those of us, particularly in the rural areas, that have a lot of projects that are very vital to a lot of our smaller communities.
And I guess kind of on a related note, we are going to be having Shell out here this summer in preparation for their Arctic drilling program. And it's anticipated that, we're going to have Statoil, ConocoPhillips, et cetera, out here in the coming years. Right now, the city's sort of working to figure out what infrastructure they're going to need. Have you been in talks with the city officials out here about what they're looking for and what funding will be available for the development of Unalaska?
Yes, I have had a number of conversations with the city leadership, more in the sense that the work to be done on capital budget items will be, you know, obviously forward-looking with the session behind us now, and that with the legislature approving a measure to basically extend the Northern Waters Task Force and to create a new commission called the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, that having Unalaska and its pivotal role that it's going to play in the staging of virtually all the major efforts that that are tied to not only offshore drilling but also the opening of the Arctic at this point, that Unalaska needs to be a centerpiece in terms of consideration by the state for capital projects and infrastructure items and so on and so forth. So I think that's a larger discussion that only is going to be more pronounced going forward, and that the city will be making a bigger issue of in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, where do you see sort of the development of a new deep water port, a more northern part of the state, heading?
Well, for me, I don't see anywhere that there could be one, and there could be one that could rival certainly the capabilities that Unalaska has to offer at this point. Talking to the Coast Guard folks and others, and with my experience serving on the Northern Waters Task Force, I did not come in contact with any area along the northern coast that could offer, the natural opportunities for a deep water port that they're currently in Alaska.
I have a pair of listener questions for you. First, what is your stance on the proposed road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge that would connect King Cove to Cold Bay? And second, what's your stance on the current Accutan Airport project?
Well, on the Eisenbeck, the 9-mile road that would go through the refuge itself, really at the heart of the whole issue, I sponsored a bill 2 years ago that passed the House and the Senate unanimously. I think it was 60-0 to essentially enable the land transaction between the federal government, the Village of King Cove, borough, and others to take place. So I think my position is pretty clear on that. Regarding the Accutan Airport, that's an issue that happened largely in terms of the funding on the federal side of things. And, it's a project that when I got in the office in 2007, that was very much underway and, really did not see a lot of action in the legislature at all. So that's an issue that, I don't think that I've been that directly involved with one way or the other.
This is another question from a listener. Right now, we don't have an office of children's services out here in Alaska. Is there anything that the legislature can do about that?
Well, we're continuing to work on that. Unfortunately, we've been aware of it. We've been in contact with the Department of Health and Social Services. It's been an item that I think we've all wanted to get funding. It's an item that, we're going to continue championing, and hopefully next year, may be able to get the funds back in the budget for it. We didn't have any success here recently, and I wish I could report otherwise, am I aware of it being closed and of its importance and, the need to have those type of services in the community like Unalaska, which can, be provided, on a regional level as well, all of the above. So I'll just close by saying that we're aware of it, and hopefully we'll be more successful in the future on getting it funded or reinstated.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that response, and thanks for your time today. It's been great having you here with us.
Thank you very much, Alexander, and I look forward to the next time that we get to talk.
That was District 37 Representative Bryce Edgman. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM, and this is The Exchange. We'll be back shortly with Clayton Hansen, the author of Miss Remorse. You can call in with your questions by dialing 581-1888. Stay tuned.